Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm so glad you joined me tonight. I have quite a few things to talk to everyone about tonight, and I hope this helps all of you. I spoke with a very special friend today, and I asked her to call and listen in. And I hope when she's ready to talk, she lets me know by, I think it's a one that you press on your phone, so I'll know that you're ready to talk. I want to talk about our differences. I want to talk about the fact that so many people get harassed because they look different. And that goes from their looks, which would include the color of their skin, what size they are, heavy or thin, their features, big noses, kinky hair or straight hair or bushy hair or whatever, having to do with what they look like. And then, of course, there's their cultures, which, again, is often recognized by the color of their skin and often by their attire. And it made me think of something very interesting that I actually got a smile out of today while I was thinking about it, and that is the fact that one of the other very judgmental things are people's sexual preferences. And often that's judged by someone's appearance. And I thought to myself, I went to school with a lot of girls who played football with all the guys. And they were, if you'll forgive this way of putting it, straight as arrows. But they liked sports. And they were good in track. And they could play football with the best of them. And most of them were captains of the girls' softball team and the volleyball team and what have you. And yet, even back then, I'm almost 65, so we're talking about a long time ago. We're talking about the 50s and the 60s. They would be labeled. Now, today, it's a little bit more opened about sexual preference. And it's a little bit more understood about different cultures, even though it's not understood to the degree that it needs to be understood. But it made me laugh when I thought about these four prominent figures. And I thought about Liberace. Liberace was bold, in-your-face, flamboyant, candelabra on the piano. The way he walked, the way he talked, everything about it, everything about his act, everything about him shouted to you who he was, and that was fine with him. Then you had Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis was also incredibly flamboyant, jumped on the piano, played the piano with his feet, in your face, wore fancy, fancy Western jackets, all beaded in gold and gemstones and everything, very much like Liberace. One was straight and one was not. So if you're going to judge by looks, what stops you from believing that both of these men have the same preference? If you're foolish enough to think that that's the way to tell, that's the mistake you're going to make. The next two people I thought of were Rock Hudson, who for many, many years had everybody believing that he was straight as an arrow. And then we had Paul Newman, both handsome, handsome leading men, both very, very, very romantic parts in all the movies they played in. Did anybody know that Rock Hudson was not a straight arrow? No. Not until much later in his life. So it just made me giggle to think to myself that people were so foolish in those days, and now today we're still judging by the same criteria. And it made me think about how many people I know who look one way and who are another. Have you ever met somebody who frowns all the time? They're just their face just seems to be set in a like a grimace all the time. And before you meet them, you think, oh my gosh, what a grumpy woman. She must be difficult to get along with. The first time she opens her mouth, you find out she's the sweetest person you've ever talked to in your life. If you hadn't spoken to her, there's been times in my life when I would have lost one of the best friends I've ever had. I can't stand the fact that we're allowing our kids to grow up and still be so judgmental in a time and age when everybody understands that you're supposed to be able to march to your own drummer. You're supposed to get out there and flaunt your stuff, and nobody's supposed to say anything about your piercings, your purple hair, your anything. And yet, we're still so incredibly judgmental. And the things that we judge the most on are the things that most people can't help. The fact that they were born with a big nose, the fact that they were born gay, or they were born a lesbian. Whatever the case might be, we still have that tendency to jump in and think, oh my God, what's the matter with that girl? Or, oh my God, what's the matter with that guy? Well, he just made a bad decision. He could fix that if he wanted to. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But all these things our kids are being harassed with. All these things. And I think it's time to stop it. And I think it's time to do something about the fact that we've lost sight of loving without judging. I'm going to bring in Shelley. Shelley is online with us, and I'm going to bring in another caller so that we can talk about these things. Miss Shelley, are you there?
I sure am, Renee. How are you?
I'm good, dear. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very good.
I brought in another caller. Hello, this is Renee.
Hello.
Hi, this is Renee. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
Hi, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie. I hope you've been listening and you know what our topic is tonight, and I welcome you to join in.
Thank you. I have been listening. I just want to say well done, Renee. I think that this subject matter is so terribly important right now. One of the things that's on my mind at the moment is this new Fight Obesity campaign that we have going on in the United States.
Yes.
I don't understand why it has to be a Fight Obesity campaign, because what you're doing is labeling children, and these children are going to have issues with being labeled for their entire lives. I think mm-hmm. that we should have a wellness campaign in this country, not a Fight Obesity campaign, because that automatically lays blame on anyone who is not in that little skinny body. And there are a lot of us who are not and never have been. And that just leaves us out or assigns blame or makes us think that we've done something wrong in our lives or that we're bad in our life or that somehow we don't fit in.
Yes.
And when you go through your whole life just not fitting in, that has a ripple effect all around that person.
Mm-hmm.
Forevermore, everyone who comes in contact with that person is going to feel that ripple.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
You know, Susie, I love something that you said when you first started, and you said that instead of having a Fight Obesity campaign, why don't we have a wellness campaign?
Mm.
And if you think about Mother Teresa, she used to say all the time, I won't go to an anti-war rally, but if you have a peace rally, I'll show up for that. And what it is it's putting it on the positive. Let's teach children how to be the healthiest they can be for whatever their body makeup is. And some people's body makeup is never going to be a size 2, you know.
Absolutely.
But they can still be healthy. They can be healthy and active and live vital lives and not have all that emotional pressure that actually makes the situation worse, because our emotions play into our health, 110%. You know,
absolutely.
So if you get that emotional stigma, you know, like many people who have different issues with that, they're going to turn to comfort food and they're just going to compound the problem. Where
absolutely.
They might still be a large person,
mm-hmm.
but they can be healthy and happy. And
they will
and
hide themselves
beautiful.
Away. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and who's going to be the judge as to what is obese and what is skinny and what is perfect?
Mm-hmm.
That's what scares me, because I think everybody has a different vision of what's perfect. I must tell you, size 16 for me is perfect. And if somebody thinks I'm too fat at 16, that's their loss, because not only will I look good in a size 16, but I'm a hell of a friend to have. So if you're bypassing me because I'm in a 16 and not in a size 8, that's your
there
tough
you
luck. Right?
Yeah. And I can vouch for that, by the way. She is a fantastic friend to have. I second that.
There you go. For sure.
But I agree with you, and I think it is a shame that the words chosen for, I think what she's doing is wonderful. I commend her for stepping out there and letting people also judge her. Let's remember
mm-hmm.
that she's also put herself on display to be judged. I hear quips about, well, her arms don't look as good as they did last year. Remember last or 4 years ago when she did the inauguration, she showed off her arms with a sleeveless gown and all this stuff. And she still looks pretty good, but her arms are a little of this. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with you people?
I know. We have a healthy first lady who goes
yes.
to the gym and
yes.
works out.
Yes.
And, you know, is plants vegetables outside
mm-hmm.
of the White House. I think
yes.
that is outrageously wonderful.
Me too.
You know, we have never had anything like this before, so I think that's fabulous. I would just like to hear wellness instead of so much focus on obesity, because I'll tell you what, I have met a lot of size zeros and size twos that are unhealthier than I ever was at a size
exactly.
32.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
you're
know,
absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
The obese people who are out there, and that seems to be the subject that I'm on tonight because that's part of my world, the obese people that are out there are unfortunate in that it hangs out all over them. But as I once said to a group of people that the two of you know,
mm-hmm.
just because an obese person is standing there and you can see their, quote, issue, doesn't mean that the man who's sitting four rows back doesn't abuse his wife. It doesn't mean that the accountant in the back of the room does illegal things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look all over the room. Everyone is going to have an issue. Obese people are just unfortunate in that it hangs out all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people need to use some common sense about these things. People need to realize this is a human being you're talking to. This is a
mm-hmm.
human being with real-life feelings and emotions. Do you want them to carry trauma with them for the rest of their lives? And you know that when you talk about kids verbally abusing other kids and calling them names, I think that if you sat down with the bully in a room and you said, do you realize that that person is going to be traumatized for the rest of their life? They wouldn't want that either.
Well, I think that's true. I do think that's true. But I also think that one of the things that we fight against is fat is funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
for the public, fat is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'll never forget the T-shirt that they came out with many years ago with the little tiny husband and the big fat woman,
mm-hmm.
and he was caught in the crack of her butt. And everybody
right.
just thought that was hysterical, right? And I thought
mm-hmm.
to myself, this is what you're fighting against, because fat is
mm-hmm.
funny.
And mm-hmm.
and it's not taken as seriously as somebody who is impaired in other ways. And even scarred people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
mean, it's,
yes.
it's something that is just supposedly comical. And so we fight against that because I think there's a lot of people out there who don't think they hurt anybody because it's funny.
Yeah.
Because to make a fat joke is amusing and everybody giggles. So I think there are some people, we both know, we all know that there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, they don't comprehend the fact that their words can cut somebody to the quick. They don't comprehend the fact that they can look at somebody and say something like, you know, I wish you wouldn't ever wear that dress again because it really doesn't flatter you. I have girlfriends like that.
Yeah,
and
they
love me, and they think that they're doing something nice for me.
Mm.
And you know, so it's an amusing thing with weight. And then let's don't forget there's the young woman, and of course at Hippocrates there was a lot of this, and that's our poor sisters and brothers that are suffering from anorexia or are bulimic, things like that. And but see, they get looked at as having a problem. We get looked at as being gluttons. That's where the difference comes in.
Absolutely.
You know, when both things have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It is the same problem. I know that growing up, you know, when you're 3 and 4 years old and you happen to be a chubby kid and you're being called names, you aren't responsible. You didn't make the food. You didn't put it on the table. Maybe it's just genetic or whatever. But I know
and,
that
you know, the whole thing is that a lot of it is genetics, and there's a lot of research coming out about that now. I was actually researching something else. I had shared this with Rania about a month ago. I was actually researching something else, and one of the topics in there was eating disorders, both anorexia and overeating. And part of it was the same genetic defect, believe it or not, that causes both disorders, but they can manifest in opposite directions depending on other factors that come into play. But it's actually
genetic.
Oh,
I believe that. I believe that.
So it's just like, you know, it's just like saying, you know, somebody who's gay is choosing to be that way. No, they're that way genetic. They've also proven that over a decade ago.
It's who they are.
That's an orientation. It's not a preference.
Yeah.
It's an orientation. Big difference.
Yeah.
Same thing with eating disorders and things like that is that, and it doesn't mean that the person can't improve their eating once they know that, but it also doesn't mean that they have a lack of willpower either, all right? It doesn't mean that the person that's anorexic, you should feel bad for them, and the person who's heavier is just somebody that doesn't have any willpower. It's nonsense. It's a genetic issue, you know, and there are ways of dealing with it, but it has nothing to do with willpower, and that's the issue.
Well, here's one of the things that happens to children. When you get labeled and you sort of start out your life being called names and you think something's wrong with you, you stop eating. So I know growing up, from first grade on, I never ate a bite of breakfast. I never ate a bite of lunch. And I was still the chubbiest kid in the class. And it was because it destroys your metabolism when you starve. So the chubby kid is actually doing the same thing that the anorexic or bulimic kid does. They're not consuming enough food. The body goes into starvation mode, and the second it goes into starvation mode, that person will start gaining weight because they're the survivors of the species. But they're going to put on weight. Every single bite is going to be stored. It's not going to be burned as ready fuel. And this was the change that happened for me. Becoming a vegan and eating vegetables allowed my body to use food to burn and to give me energy rather than to store. But how old was I when I found this out? I was already 50. I had spent a lifetime being the chubbiest person in the room and being laughed at and put down, never once walked out of my door without being insulted by someone.
Wow.
Never once. ever do I remember in my life, and some of those people who insulted me were family members.
Needing to tell me about myself, that could be the worst.
A teacher or a choir director or, you know, all of those people who decide to come and tell you about yourself. And they're not telling you the truth. I remember at Epoxy hearing the first lecture, and it literally rang in my head that for the first time in my life I was hearing the truth about food.
Mm-hmm.
It was like bells ringing in my head, and I thought, okay, now I've got it. Now I know. Now I understand. And for me, that situation worked. Do I think it would work for everyone? I don't know. But for me, that situation worked.
The other thing that people don't realize is that weight issues have so many different factors that play into them. Hormone imbalances can also wreak havoc on that. Stress, not getting enough, believe it or not, not getting enough sleep. People that, because I went through this years ago, and then I realized what I did to myself after reading a couple of books on the subject. But
I was working
excessive hours, and I wasn't eating as much as I did before I was working the hours. I was eating less, and I was just, I mean, I gained 25 pounds in 6 months.
I was just putting the weight on.
And what happened was I found out that I had actually damaged my hypothalamus, which is like your metabolite or your regulator.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I basically just burned it out. And so my body wasn't regulating. So I could eat a very small amount of food, and I was just like gaining weight left and right. It was like astonishing. And,
I believe that.
You know, thank goodness that I found this book that I read, and so that I was able to kind of make adjustments, and now I make sure that I do get proper rest. But something that you wouldn't even associate having anything to do with weight control is getting enough sleep and rest and not allowing yourself to be under too much stress. Both those things damage the hypothalamus and can really alter your body's ability to metabolize food and break it down properly. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. And Shelley, let me just... you know, go back to the stuff that we were talking about in the beginning. And during that time in your life when you had put on that 25 pounds, did you need everyone around you saying, boy, you gained weight, boy, you this, putting you down for it? I mean, I don't understand why anyone's size is anyone else's business.
Amen.
Our bodies are our bodies. They don't have anything to do with anyone else.
That's right. We own our bodies. And that's one of the things that I would like to say. While the two of you are talking here, I just jotted down on my giant blue tablet that sits beside me, you don't need to make excuses for anybody. And I'm not saying that these problems are excuses, but when you start talking about all the different reasons why somebody is overweight or why somebody is underweight or why somebody has acne, there's another horrible thing that happens to young people.
Yeah.
Acne is awful, and everybody assumes, what's the first thing everybody thinks when they see a child with really bad acne? Do you guys know what people think?
That they either don't wash their face or they eat fried food.
That's right, that they're dirty. Somehow they're dirty, either in what they eat or in the fact that they don't keep themselves clean. Now, you know, that's ridiculous, absolutely positively ridiculous. However, it's something that's done on a daily basis, just like the judgments about somebody who's overweight or underweight or all the other things that we talked about tonight. The point is, Susan, you just said it. I've said it a million times in my lifetime. If this isn't your ass, it's none of your business.
Well said. It's true.
It is.
I love it. It's true.
It is. So, you know, and that's the point. You know, 3 years ago, right after my Michael got hurt, I got a phone call from a radio station and one of the television stations that had been interviewing me on a regular basis and asked me if they could come to Hippocrates and talk to me about an 11-year-old girl in Jupiter who had taken her own life because she was a little short and little chubby girl. And she was so tired of being called fatty and fatso and all these horrible names that she went home after school at age 11 and took her own life, hung herself in her bedroom closet.
Absolutely.
And I thought to myself, you know what? At age 11, that could have been me. I mean, you know, that, you know, because I was, by the time I was in sixth grade, I weighed about, I don't know, 130 pounds, and I was already 5'6". So I don't know that I was as chubby as I was big, but I was the biggest girl in the class for sure, and everybody called me Jetherini and Jolly Green Giant. So I could barely grasp the fact that an 11-year-old girl had been picked on so badly, and I saw a picture of her. She was just, she hadn't
beautiful.
Even grown out of her baby fat yet.
I'm sure she was beautiful.
So, I think about that, and I think about all these other young people that I know that are not strong enough. Something inside of them is not strong enough to be able to take all this ridicule and harassment and all these things that hurt them to their quick, hurt them to their soul by people who are not smart enough to understand that that's not their right to hurt another kid, even with words.
Yeah, I think that it wears them down. Because
yes,
it's day after day after day after day, and one person in the class will abuse this person, and then they all gang up, and then they all start abusing this person and rejecting that person. Then they go to the next year, and the same thing happens. And I think it wears away the soul. It wears away the fight and the strength to stand up to it. It wears away the self-esteem, and it cuts to the quick. And they just can't take it anymore.
And the other thing I'm afraid that happens is that they start believing it.
Of course they do.
They start believing that everybody's right, that they are a fat slob or that they are ugly or that, yes, who would ever want to kiss you with all those pimples all over your face? They believe that after a while. You know, there used to be an old saying that if three people tell you don't look good, lay down. You remember that old saying?
Yeah.
Or something along those lines it was. You know, if three people tell you look sick, lay down. It's the same idea as this. It's all about finally you think, oh, my God, they're right. Look at me.
Start buying into it.
Yeah. They start believing what everybody's saying to them. And, of course, then that's the downside
it's
of that
the
hill.
Fracture, it's the fracture of the spirit. And the initial assault will happen, and it can happen to a male child when he listens to his parents say, oh, I really wish we had had a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Or
that's another one.
Saying, oh, I really wish we had had a boy. We've got enough girls to take care of. What happens to that girl's spirit? That they are fractured. And so part of their spirit moves over to the side in question. Then the next time the assault happens, that's confirmation. By the third time, that person is already damaged. And it takes people like you and Shelley and all those people that held me up and allowed me to say those words and those feelings. It takes nurturers like you to hold up people like me and let them heal. And a lot of us don't get to do that until we're 50 and 60 years old. So we've carried those wounds and those traumas for a whole lifetime. Build your life around that trauma. And one of the most valuable things that was ever said to me is a person is as sick as their secret.
Wow.
Until people stand up and start saying, you know what? I was hurt in fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade. I was really hurt. Until people stand up and start saying, these things happened to me, and I want to be sure they don't happen to other people. Let's have a dialogue. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So that people don't have to carry it. Renia, I commend you for doing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. And I want to say the same to you, honey, because, well, so many people taught me so many things at Hippocrates, so many guests. And, of course, you're right up there in the top five. I learned so much from you. And you taught me about, like you just said, about one of the things I talk about on this show all the time is if you leave something inside of you, it festers. And if you never bring it out and put it on the table and examine it and try to disperse some of it, it can make you ill in more ways than one. And being able to share on a show like this, I want to say to everybody out there that's listening, everybody has different stuff. But believe me when I tell you, everybody has stuff. It may not be exactly the same. It may not have been delivered in the same truck. It may not have gotten to you the same way. It may have gotten to you a whole other different way. Maybe you never had anybody. And maybe nothing was ever said to you. And for that, you have such a sheer sense of emptiness that you're suffering from the same kind of turmoil that somebody who's been filled with bad stuff is suffering from.
Absolutely.
We are not built to not be nurtured. We're not built to not be given things that feed our soul as well as our belly. And the longer we refuse to give freely of our hearts to people who need our hearts, the longer this world is going to be in total chaos. We have got to start caring and caring deeply about the person standing next to us, whether they are fat or skinny or black or white or gay or straight or short or tall. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Inside of them, they have this little pump that pumps the blood all through their body called their heart. And pretty much they're all the same in every damn one of us.
Absolutely.
And it has to start with the family unit and with the teachers.
Yep.
Teachers have to be more than just a 9-to-5 job. It's the type of job where you're forming minds and opinions. So these, you know, the people, the family members and the teachers that are around children have got to start taking a stance that it's important to care about each other. It's important to be supportive of each other and really, you know, look at people for what they have to offer, not what they look like, but what, how does their mind work? You know, if people would just listen to each other, you'd find out that this kid sitting next to you is really has some stuff that you could be interested in. You know, if they would just sit down, like that movie Breakfast Club that we talked about. Here they were.
Yeah.
Like all this different,
you remember
and, you know,
that movie, too?
The funny part about it is so true to life. You get these kids together that are from all different, different groups in the school, and by the end of the day, they were all, like, bonded. You know, because they actually talk to each other and learn that they weren't so different, you know, even though they were from different cliques and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, they weren't really all that different from each other. They all pretty much wanted the same thing, just to belong, to be cared about, to be treated with respect. I mean,
I think one of the things that we need to do with children and with young adults is to empower them to reach out and to if you don't find your little niche with one group, go find another group. That's just not your group. To take their own self, their own heart, their own self-esteem, and keep searching until they find where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
How does a helicopter pilot know that they're going to be a helicopter pilot until they get in a helicopter and try it?
That's right.
Just
right.
Keep on trying. Keep
mm-hmm.
on reaching out. Keep on saying how you feel. Healing occurs when you do that, and you will find yourself, you're out there, you will find yourself if you just keep on trying. I had no idea in my life that I would ever meet a Renee and a Shelley. I had no idea. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if somebody had told me at 30 and at 35 when I was so alone
mm-hmm.
that I would have found beautiful people like the two of you to love me and care for me.
Yeah.
Wow. That would have emboldened me in ways beyond belief. And I hope the people who are listening to this program just keep reaching out and saying how they feel. Just find some more people. If you don't fit in one church choir, go try another one. You know?
That's right. That's exactly right. And
like
you
that.
Know, this, I think it was last week, I read a story. This young woman wrote in to one of the bully sites, and her little girl was being bullied by the princesses at school. Not the mean-looking, lumbering, ugly kid that smacks everybody around, but all the little princesses were picking on her third grader and made her feel unwelcomed. Every night she came home in tears. Mom went to school. Mom did everything that we would normally do, trying to get them, the teachers and the powers that be in the school, to get these little girls to quit picking on her. They didn't. They just didn't, for whatever reasons. They saw that they could bother her, and that's all they wanted to do. So after Mom exhausted everything she could think of with the school, and she was very open-minded about the school. She actually felt that even though she was disappointed that they hadn't done anything to help, she also saw that in many cases her hands were tied, or their hands were tied. So she called her old girlfriends, this mom did, and had them bring over their girls that were just about the same age as her daughter. And she formed a club with these girls. And they started doing arts and crafts and all this other stuff together. Today, this young woman is in approaching college years. And she and all these young girls get together every 2 weeks, and now they make brown paper lunches as a part of their arts and crafts to give to homeless people. What it did for her daughter is it gave her something to look forward to, even though nothing changed in school, per se.
Mm-hmm.
She still got harassed. She still got quietly bullied by these princesses. But she knew that she wasn't alone anymore.
Yes.
She knew she had this group of girls that loved her, that wanted to be with her, that enjoyed her company, and that gave her all the courage she needed to go to school every day and put up with all the other crap.
There it is. Her self-esteem was intact.
Exactly. I mean,
well,
that
done.
Story for me spoke volumes.
You bet.
Absolute volumes, because it's so true. You know, in my last year at Hippocrates, we'd go to the staff meetings that for so many years I was totally in charge of. And I said to Kenny Blue and Michael Berganzi one day, if I didn't have your faces to look at in that meeting, I wouldn't be able to sit in there. And that's kind of how I felt. Because with those two men who knew who I was and what I had done, I still felt totally connected.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd had to go in there all by myself, I probably would have left a lot earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about having a connection and knowing that even though those people, that person, like you were so sweet to say about Shelley and I, we're miles apart, and we don't see each other all the time. But when we talk, it's like no time has gone by.
It's like family, isn't it?
Exactly.
And
that is what
ago. It's family.
Yes.
It starts with family.
It gives you the courage to fight the daily battles. I wish we didn't have to fight them. I wish I could take every child and say, you know, stop it, and they'd stop it, and don't be mean because you don't want anybody to be mean to you, but it doesn't work like that.
No.
they get frustrated and angry, and they say something mean to another kid, and then pretty soon somebody says something mean to that kid, and blah, 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 you know, it just goes right on down the line. But they are kids. It's even more hurtful when I read also some research that I did about workplace bullying. And I talked a little bit about myself, and I talked a little bit about some other things. And then I gave some of the statistics about workplace bullying, and that is overwhelming.
Oh, it is. I've experienced it because I live in the Northeast, and
mm-hmm.
I'm a Southern Belle. And
mm-hmm.
so it's a very interesting thing to walk into a corporate office up here and say, hey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was immediately handed a sheet of paper by a superior with words that I could say and couldn't say.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
I laughed. I thought that was funny. I was bold enough at that point to laugh over it. So that was good.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
I
got a call from, you know, now I'm hearing from all kinds of people, and some of the stories are ones of overcoming and being the person they are today because of all these trials and tribulations, and those are good for everybody to hear. Just like yourself, Suze, I mean, you've come a very, 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 very long way from the first time I met you, a very long way, and you should be so proud of yourself. So proud of yourself. And every time you look in the mirror, you should say, damn, you're good. You are really good. Every time you look in that mirror, you should be saying that to yourself, because you overcame lots of obstacles, lots of things that other people don't even need to know about. Just to suffice it to say that it was not an easy road, and there were not a lot of people holding your hand. Some of us have hand holders. Some of us don't. Some of us don't need them, but it's still nice to know that they're there if you do need them.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a lot of this really, really on your own, and I know that. So I commend you for that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the people that are listening right now, if you're feeling like you are all alone and you're feeling like you just can't do it anymore because there's just nobody that seems to get it, we get it.
Mm.
We really, really get it. And we are here, and even if I've never laid eyes on you, if you call this show and you need to talk to us, you will have a friend for life.
You bet.
Yep.
Please call. Please just keep reaching out.
Yes.
Just keep reaching out. Don't ever stop with that, because you don't know who is around the next corner that will be your BFF.
That's right.
You, and you'll
that's
have fun,
right.
And you'll be laughing and playing and eating popcorn together or whatever, or Betsy.
That's right.
And you'll
that's
have a grand
right.
old time. So just don't ever stop trying. Just keep trying. Keep going.
That's it. That's it. And knowing that there is always going to be somebody that will understand and be there for you. And, you know, when Mike got hurt and some of the other things that I've been through in my life, the rallying and the support that you get from perfect strangers is like, oh, my gosh, you know, it can kind of blow you away. So, but when that happens, it's such a good reminder to the fact that we are amazing. People are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's troublesome that they aren't amazing all the time, and that sometimes they get wrapped up in the petty stuff that, like what we're talking about tonight, about mm-hmm. what you look like or what you don't look like or what you have or what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But if people think that you need them, it's surprising how many people will jump up and say, hey, I'm right here. So sometimes it's just a matter of asking or letting somebody know that you need them.
Yes, let somebody know. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you should never, ever, ever be ashamed of that, because every single person that has ever drawn a breath has needed somebody at some point in time.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Absolutely. And that
so,
person comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Amen. Amen. And imagine how incredibly boring our lives would be if everybody looked identical.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
I mean, how could you sit at the mall and people watch?
That's true.
Or be in New York City and walk down the street and look at all of the interesting people that walk by you. I mean, my
Absolutely.
God, we wouldn't trade that for anything we've ever had, would we, Shelley?
Oh, absolutely not. And I love people watching because I think people are just interesting characters. I mean, imagine a rainbow of all gray. I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, where would be the beauty in it? There has to be differences. There has to be variety in personality,
right.
in appearance, in opinions. I love talking to people that don't have the same opinion as I have because
Absolutely.
Sometimes I can be challenged to look at something a little differently. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean that I'm going to roll over and just be wishy-washy because I have very strong convictions about things. But I
know who would have known that? Who on earth would have known that?
But in the
well,
same
you know,
focus,
when God made the planet, he didn't just make one kind of bird.
Uh-huh. Right.
He made lots of different beautiful birds for us to look at that had many different songs to sing. And he
mm-hmm.
did the same thing with human beings. We
yeah.
all have our own song to sing.
That's right.
Let's listen to each other's song.
That's right.
Well, you know, I like that analogy, and I've often thought about that myself. At one night I was laying in bed, and I was thinking along the same lines, and I thought of flowers, and I thought, imagine
mm-hmm.
how boring it would be if all we ever had was dandelions.
Absolutely.
I mean,
think about it, yeah.
You know, and who doesn't love a lawn filled with dandelions except the poor guy that has to weed it? But just imagine no roses, no tulips, no peonies, no carnations here in Florida. Just in Florida alone, the flowers that grow wild here in Florida.
Mm.
And how boring it would be if we didn't have all of those. And how boring it would be when you walk into, on Saturdays when I meet all the Golden Girls to have brunch, I get a big kick out of seeing how everybody dressed and what everybody wore.
Yeah.
Because it's always different because we're really, really different from each other, but we all click together.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep.
And then think of the Golden Girls, Maude and her very severe, tall, long, flowing stuff, and our sweet Blanche in her ever bubbly, sexy little outfits, and Betty White, who's still going so strong, who always dressed like prim and proper. You know, I mean, there's a perfect scenario for how different we can all be, and yet how like a puzzle we can be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a puzzle together if all the pieces are the same. It doesn't go together.
That's right. And age doesn't play into it either. I have friends that are, you know, 30 years older than me, and I have friends that are 30 years younger than me. You know,
absolutely.
It's,
I do too.
It's,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
me too.
And it's, you know, and it comes right down to, you know, like if you classify yourself, you really limit yourself to your own happiness because
mm-hmm.
people are truly wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
this is something that I wish children would be taught, that the diversity in people is something that can actually empower you and can make you a better person because you learn things from everybody. I mean, there's so much knowledge out there. There's so much information. You can't learn everything. But your couple of friends over there will each learn something different, and then you learn by talking to each other and sharing different ideas. How wonderful
mm-hmm.
is that? You don't have to learn it all. You just have to share with each other.
It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to share an AJ-ism, as I've decided to call them. Susan, AJ is my youngest grandchild. Not my youngest. I have great-grandchildren that are younger than he is, but he's my grandchild. He is 6, and he says some of the most wonderful things to me. In the beginning of the school year, he was being bullied by a little boy named Timothy. He came home, told his mom, told me. Diana went to school. The teacher moved them away from the table. You know, they were sitting at a table for four. She moved them apart. And he came home several times and said, in the lunchroom, Timothy hits him on the back, and Timothy does this. So I said to him one day, I said, you know, I really think you should try to make friends with Timothy. Sometimes little kids, you know, hit you and do things like that to you because they're just trying to get your attention and they don't know how else to do it. They don't know how to walk up to you and shake your hand like you'd like to think a grown-up would do, and they don't even always do it. But if they could, or if somebody had taught them to do that, maybe he would make friends with you. So it's been ongoing, and of course school has been in session for quite a while now. He comes home tonight and he says to me, you know, that kid Timothy, he said, I had a long talk with him. And I said, you did? He says, I told him that he doesn't have to be such a big shot, that people will like him if he's not such a big shot. And if he just calms down and doesn't seem to get so excited about everything, he'll have more friends. He's six.
Wonderful.
Can you believe that? And I looked at him
it.
And I said, Grandma is so proud of you when you take the time to talk to another little kid that maybe doesn't have anybody that talks to him like that. And he says,
aww.
I think it worked all day. He didn't hit me one time today. And I said, so it must have worked.
Oh, that's wonderful.
How sweet is that?
So, I mean, you know, if a six-year-old can accomplish that, it's just a matter of wanting to. And it's just a matter of trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true for all of us. I think that if you look at somebody who's really hurting you and you look at them and say, please, I guess you don't realize it, but you really hurt my feelings when you say things like that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or you really hurt me when you do things like that, when you know I don't like you to do things like that. Is it your intention to hurt me? And I'm going to tell you that most people are going to say, you're crazy. I didn't do anything like that. Why did you take it like that? That's what's going to happen a lot of those times.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be the one that's going to stand up and say, you know, that hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that to me?
Embolden people to say the truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that word. Did you make up that word, Suze?
No. But it's a good word, isn't it?
Embolden. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Mm-hmm.
Repeat the word. I didn't hear it.
She says that you embolden someone so that they can talk to somebody like that.
Oh, okay. And great.
How is it E-M-B-O-L-D-I-N-G?
Yes.
Embolden.
Embolden.
E-N. Oh, E-N. Embolden. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. It will be my
new
favorite word.
Yeah, Rainey, I got to tell you, you know, you told that story about AJ, and it's an adorable story, but I don't know that you realize how really profound that story is.
I agree.
You would, number one, that you would give advice to a six-year-old and then have that six-year-old comprehend it and act on it and actually get results. And I hope that everybody listening to this show right now, because that was a really profound moment, you sharing that story. If you can have that kind of an impact on your six-year-old grandson, that means that we do have that kind of impact on children. I mean, look at the compassion you just created in AJ with that. Right? Instead of turning around and punching the kid, or getting sick to his stomach and being afraid of the kid, he just confronted it head on with compassion and kindness, and now he and his kid are going to be fine.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Well, that when he got done telling me, you know, he's sitting there and he's grinning at me, and I said, you know, sometimes this happens. You know, sometimes you meet somebody when you're your age and the two of you rub each other the wrong way and everything, and it's really just about the fact that somebody wants to get to know you and they don't know how. I said, I'll bet you and Timothy from now on will be best friends. And he said, I think that might be right, Graham. And I said, well, I said, we won't know for a while, but if you keep on being a good boy to him and he understands that he doesn't need to be a big shot with you, then my guess is you'll be best friends. And there's nothing like getting a best friend in kindergarten that you stay best friends with all through school.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Greeny, I think
great.
That's a wonderful thing, but I agree with Shelley. I don't even know if you realize what has
mm-hmm.
happened, because
mm-hmm.
you, as the grandmother of Michael, could have instilled this child with fear.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
could have taken all of what happened with Michael and then made all of your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, afraid of other kids. Be careful. Don't say anything. Don't make anybody mad. Don't do this. Don't do that. Kids are mean.
Exactly.
Kids are right. You could have said horrible things about other kids, and you didn't. You've emboldened
yeah.
those children to take charge of their lives and stand up and turn things around. And I applaud you for that, honey. There aren't
Thank
very
you.
Many people
Thank
who
you.
Could do that. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
I feel... You know, since day one, even though I must tell you that things changed a little bit in the courtroom with the last child, but my heart has always ached for those boys, because they, you know, they changed so many lives that day for so much stupidity and
mm-hmm.
so much. I said to the judge the last day of the trial for Matthew Bent, I said to the judge, I said, Your Honor, it's like somebody pushed a snowball the size of a dime off of Kilimanjaro that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when it hit the bottom, it was enormous. And I don't think there was ever that kind of intent that day. I just believe boys are silly, especially when they're that age. And everything just, you know, jumped from one thing to another. And my heart aches for their parents and for them, because one day of just not thinking,
mm.
you know, I ruined their lives
mm.
and hurt my grandson. My grandson survived, but he has lots and lots of issues, and I'd be lying if I said he didn't. He does. And but... You know, we'll just hang on. I keep telling my daughter-in-law, you're in for a bumpy ride, and the only advice I can give to you is to hang on and go on the ride with him and get through it, get to the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Because there is no quick fix for something like this, and there's no
right.
magic words. And having the boys put in prison didn't make anybody feel, oh, yay, yippee,
no,
we're going to do that,
no.
you know. There was still sadness in the air, even for us, and even though, I don't know, I guess in the long run, that's what the outcome was supposed to be, but it didn't make us rejoice in any way, shape, or form.
Did the boys apologize?
Well, the one boy that would not take the plea did not. He was the one whose idea it was to do everything that day. He was the one who was angry with Mike. Nobody else was even angry with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two boys, yes, they during the trial, the one boy said, I was a good boy. I never did anything wrong. You can ask anybody. And now I have to live every morning I wake up and remember what I did to my best friend. And I got to live with that. That's what he said.
Oh,
wow.
Mhm. So,
wow.
And that helped us. That helped us heal a little bit, you know.
Good.
Because if you hear that kind of a remorse, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it does lessen the load. It doesn't fix anything,
mm-hmm.
but it does lighten the load a little bit.
Yes.
So the show is wrapping up. We only have a few seconds left. I want to thank you, Susan. It was so, so wonderful to have you call us. I would like to do this again, and we can talk some more about some of these issues. I think every time we talk, we get closer to healing, all of us. And, of course, Shelley, I love you, and thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us again tonight, and I appreciate all that you're doing to keep this show on an even keel with yours truly, and I so appreciate it. I love you both, and to all of you out there, from my heart to yours, good night, and I hope I talk to you tomorrow. Good night,
I
girls.
I love you too, Reen. Good night.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless, Suze. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.